Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, sexual content, racism, slavery, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Well, this gives sweating to the oldies a whole different meaning. I'm Andy.
We all know two wrongs don't make a right, but how about a couple thousand? I'm Sean.
Listening to episodes about piracy? That's a beheading. I'm Adam.
Sons, that's your father's head. Now let me show you what we're going to do about it. I'm Kelly, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Acid Pop. Today we're going to talk about pirate queens.
Yahar!
Yo-ho!
Yar?
None of you sound like queens.
Yo-ho!
There we go.
So, etymology of pirates from the Greek pirates, meaning brigade or pirate, literally one who attacks ships.
Oh, interesting.
And that goes back to piran, which means to attack or make a hostile attempt on or try.
Interesting. I don't know why, but I guess it makes sense that being a pirate, you have to be at sea, but I always thought that was like tacked on later, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Pirate DVDs these days, but
it's true.
One of those land pirates.
No, you have to get on a ship first. Otherwise, it's not piracy.
Yeah. Then it's just straight up theft.
Yeah, you're just being a jerk.
You wouldn't download a pizza.
I mean, they don't know me very well.
If the technology existed, I'd get on that boat and download pizzas all day long.
Queen comes from Old English quen, meaning queen, female ruler of a state, woman, or wife.
Just woman. So every woman is a queen.
Say, that word does a lot of lifting.
Well, that goes back to the Proto-Germanic quoenis, which just means wife.
Huh.
So
Quincy.
So every time we say my queen, we're saying my wife.
God, it's been right all along.
It's interesting in that English is one of the few languages that has a separate word for queen that isn't derivative from king.
Oh.
So in most, you have like emperor and empress, where the queen, the word for the female ruler is just a companion word to the word for a male ruler.
And monarch and monarchess.
I couldn't find a fear of pirates. I think that's
really
called being practical.
Being a sane goddamn sailor.
But the fear of women is gynophobia.
Okay.
Makes sense.
And that's not one of these modern, we made it up because it sounded funny phobias. That one you find in the medical literature going back a ways and has been blamed for things like homosexuality. Like that was like, oh, they must have gynophobia. They must be scared of woman junk.
You scared me gay.
That man is terrified of those women. He's gay.
So wait, what does gyno mean?
Actually, it goes back to queen again.
So a gynecologist is just a woman doctor?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I thought it was more specific than even that.
Well, gynecologists specialize, but the word itself goes down to woman and doctor.
Hmm.
Like you wouldn't see a gynecologist for your hands just because you are a woman.
What about your heart? Because women's heart beats different than men.
No, they haven't.
Huh.
Women in medicine, only recently studied. Kind of funny. Yeah. It's a sort of a problem.
This goes back to the discovery of the woman in 1936.
Mr. Gynecologist, I have woman diarrhea. You're in the wrong place.
We're going to move on to our pop quiz. True or false? Vikings were the earliest known pirates.
That's got to be false.
I'm going to say false. Do they count as pirates?
I'm pretty sure as long as people have had boats, people have been stealing from those boats.
As soon as some guy saw another guy on a different island eating a tasty looking vegetable, he's like, I want to go eat that vegetable.
Then he put on an eye patch and went for it.
I got something in my eye.
Well, first to answer Andy's question, yes, pirates and Vikings are sort of synonymous. Indeed, the English word for pirate for a while was Viking.
Hmm.
But to answer the true or false, it is false. The sea peoples in the 14th century BC in the Mediterranean Sea are the earliest recorded pirates that we have historical record of.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yes, the merfolk.
I would have thought that went even back even further.
We might not have it written down. I mean, this is the ancient Egyptians writing it down in bird, squiggly eye.
Nobody took notes on it.
Heron, pirate.
So we have records of these sea peoples, and that's just what they were called, attacking Egypt. And it seems to have been sort of a collection of not so much a certain civilization as people who had like deserted the military or just needed something to do. And they were in the Mediterranean Sea doing what they had to.
Retirees.
To survive. Now, the first known pirate queen was Queen Teuta of the RDA in 231 BC. And her ships were in the Eastern Mediterranean. And she was not getting along well with Rome. So we have records of Romans encountering her ships.
The Romans did keep fastidious records.
True or false? Prostitutes in the 1700s were known to prefer sailors.
That's got to be false. No offense, Adam.
It's true.
I don't know what this would be like based on. Why would that be true?
Because they have been at sea for a long time and they're willing to pay more.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to say true because, like Andy said, they don't have a lot of places to spend money at when they're actually working.
This is indeed true.
Wow.
Sailors were considered to be starved for companionship and therefore generous patrons likely to, you know, not just be a one-night lay, but continue to be a patron who gave them money and gifts anytime they were in port.
Nice.
And they, pirates specifically, just spent money like it was water. They didn't save any, so it was good to hook up with a pirate if you could.
Well, you don't want to put it in the pirate bank. That place steals all your money.
We'll get into pirate banks
later. I was
going to
say, they should make a pirate bank, but it would be inherently untrustworthy.
So I mention this in part because some prostitutes, such as Mary Read, later became pirates.
Mm.
You know, you see these men throwing around money and giving you lots of gifts, and you're like, maybe I could just get my own money and cut out the middleman.
Yeah.
Maybe I could get my own prostitutes.
I'll be a piratestitute.
Pirates were known for savagely killing people on captive ships.
I'm going to go with false because what does that gain you? Also, I think that you're a pirate. You're like, they already want you for piracy. I think that murder is a bigger crime.
I mean, when they're going to hang you, I don't know if a bigger crime matters.
Well, then you get to decide the length of your drop.
200 feet, please.
Just a 1-inch rope, please.
I'll say true just to be the opposite.
So this one is false.
No. So I get for being contrary.
Generally speaking, captives were good for being ransom or sold into slavery, which made you a lot more money than just killing them. However, some of the pirates we'll talk about today had vendettas, so they were killing people for other reasons than material gain.
Yeah.
Just left and right.
At least it wasn't like just a coincidence, like pirate swings up on the deck, and you're like, oh shit, that's my old girlfriend, don't ever see me.
That's my old prostitute girlfriend, crap.
On to our fill in the blank. Julius Caesar was once captured by pirates. How much did they ask for in ransom in today's money?
In today's money?
I was going to say 10,000 sesterces.
But I will help you out by saying this was before he was in charge of Rome. This was when he was
a prince.
25 years old.
$1 million.
$10,000.
$15,000.
Sean's the closest without going over, but it was $600,000.
Pretty close.
Is 20 talents of silver in the terms of the time.
Wow.
But who said 1 million?
Adam.
I did.
You got close as well because Caesar demanded that they ask for more. He said he wouldn't accept being ransomed for less than 50 talents of silver.
No. You throw that note away and you put down a bigger number.
I'm a big deal.
So that's what they ended up eventually asking for. Julius Caesar spent his time in captivity writing poetry and practicing his speeches on the pirates. After he was freed,
at that point, the price is going down by the hour.
Actually, they really warmed up to him. He had the run of the ship and they treated him like he was in charge.
Really charismatic.
After he was freed, he put together a small force, captured the pirates, got his 50 talents back, and had the pirates crucified.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
I thought he was going to turn their lives around and give them, like, public service jobs or something.
No, actually, he took them to one place to have them crucified, and the person in charge there said no, it was more fiscally responsible to sell them into slavery. So he turned them around and took them to a second sort of judge and said, I'm not leaving until you crucify these men.
I need a second opinion.
But Adam, they did get public service jobs. They're feeding the birds.
Oh, Toppin's a bag.
Man, Caesar just had like a narrative in his head and he wasn't going to take no for an answer. It's like, no, this is how much you will ransom me for. And then I've got it written down here. Okay, yeah, then I get back, yeah. Then I come get you, and then I kill you all.
This isn't how my pre-written autobiography goes.
You guys had the nerve to capture me wrong in the first place, so I have to rewrite that page entirely.
Now, in Caesar's defense, I suppose, or in a point against the pirates, Caesar did tell these men that he was going to have them crucified once they let him go, and they didn't move.
And they all laughed.
They just stayed where they were, so his force just went to where they'd last been, and they were there waiting for him.
Went to the return address on the ransom notes.
What's the largest amount of money captured from a single ship by pirates?
Oh, man.
In today's money?
You can give me either the money of the time or today's money.
300 million.
Yar, 10,000 gold doubloons. I'm going to say, the largest amount of, this has to be worth more than Caesar, right?
Yeah.
Not according to Caesar.
2 million current day dollars.
Daily dollars. I'm going to say 3 million.
It was $19 million in today's money. This was Thomas II. That was the pirate in charge. And they captured a treasure ship of the Ottoman Empire.
Treasure ship?
It had $100,000 in, or 100,000 pounds in the money of the time in golden jewels. And in addition to that, it was laden with ivory and spices.
And the ship itself was made of gold.
What happened to Thomas I?
He retired.
T-E-W.
That's a weird way to spell one.
I want to know why the Ottomans were like, you know what? We got all this treasure. Let's move it all at the same time. Yeah. Do we need escorts? Nah.
Well, it gets worse. Thomas II was in a small ship with just, you know, a small crew. And the treasure ship had over 300 sailors. And they just went, okay.
Save your home country's money or your life. And they said, well, have a good day. Bye.
Two wanted to stick around the area and keep robbing ships because he figured they had a good thing going. But his crew was like, I think we have enough money. Let's go spend it. And insisted they go to the nearest place where they could spend all their money. And each crew member received between $1.3 and $2.6 million from the capture in today's money.
So wouldn't that the closest place at that point be the Ottoman Empire? Because I don't feel like that's going to go over well.
These coins look awfully familiar.
Hey!
How much is the estimated amount lost to piracy worldwide today?
Every year?
A year. In money.
We don't have any treasure ships floating around anymore.
Yeah, Adam, they're called yachts. I'm going to say a cool 1.5 million.
Don't hear much about pirates. And we're sort of aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like
non-negotiation.
Acts of piracy are hitting smaller targets these days.
Yeah. I'm going to say 150,000.
Let's say 200,000.
It is 16 billion.
Holy shit.
What?
What's happening out there?
Just capture a vessel full of, you know, merchandise.
A ship laden with Bitcoin.
There's nothing in these crates.
And pirates also make a lot of money out of ransom.
Yeah, that's sort of what I thought the main pirate money-making scam was these days.
Captain, they want all of our BMWs.
16 billion. Holy crap. That's more than I make in a week.
Stop sailing through there.
Now we're going to define a couple of terms. I only have a couple for you, and they are both punishments that pirates used on their own people.
I'm giving it away up front.
The boo box.
What is sweating?
Sweating.
I mean, I know what it is, but...
That does sound like the boo box. Maybe they put you in a metal box out in the sun.
That sounds good. I like that. A tiny little box that they lock you in.
Now, I know that sweating when it comes to coins is like getting, like putting them in a rough bag and letting them bounce around and then getting like the small amounts of gold dust that come from the coins. So I'm going to say it's something like that. Like you put them in a sandpaper sack and bounce them up.
And then you drag them behind the ship.
Something like that.
Sorry, you guys. None of you got it.
Oh, was it close?
To sweat someone, you tie them to a mast while the other pirates poke them with swords, and the person
Tickle, tickle.
The person being punished has to run or dance away while someone accompanies them on the fiddle.
What? But they're tied to the mast.
I thought they were tied to the mast.
They run around in circles trying to dodge and dance.
Oh, like tied by the leash.
Then they hit the end of the rope and they fall down and they have to run the other way.
Yes.
Why is this called sweating?
Because you start to sweat.
I think pirates need to learn what the word bleeding means.
You have to have an accomplished fiddler.
Yeah.
Okay, now for an easy one.
What is death by beheading?
What is keel hauling?
That's where you strap them to the bottom of the boat, yeah?
Yeah, I thought that's when you either drag them behind the ship or like you strap them to the front of the ship.
Yeah, like tied to the bottom. I think I've heard it both ways, but I don't know which is technically correct.
So keel hauling is when you have a rope that runs from the front of the ship to the back of the ship, and you drag the person along the bottom of the ship so that they get cut up by all the barnacles along the way until they die.
How long does that take? Because I, you know, if that's me, I hope it's like 10 feet and not like 5 laps.
Blistering barnacles.
I assume you drown before you bleed to death in that case.
Well, I figure I would just like expel all my air in a cry of agony and then like suck in a bunch of water.
Yeah,
I would
inhale as much water as I could right off the bat.
But if we're being real cruel, why not have the rope attached to a weight like the anchor, and then you drop the anchor so he's dragged real fast?
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to some stories. And now we're going to get to our pirate queens. Oddly enough, this ended up so sort of both in chronological order and in order of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Women just got better and better at being leaders of pirates, I guess.
The glass ceiling is gone.
Our first pirate queen is Jeanne de Clisson, French. Jane. So I'm mispronouncing all of these names going forward. She was known as the Lion of Brittany.
Hmm. Shouldn't it be lioness?
She gets to pick. She was pretty dangerous. She was a French noblewoman born in 1300, and she had a fairly normal life. She married, she had some children, and in 1326, her first husband died. She then remarried in 1330 to a guy named Oliver de Clisson, and this was sort of an unusual marriage for the time. They were, for a noblewoman specifically, they were both about the same age, and they seemed to really love each other.
We can't have that.
No, obviously not. The man has to be at least 10 years older.
And you have to throw up every other time you look at him.
They were really close, and Oliver, who was a nobleman, he was a Frenchman, and France was in a proxy war with England. So they'd stopped killing each other directly, but they were both sort of supporting their own candidate to be the Duke of somewhere or other. I'm going with somewhere or other because I couldn't figure out exactly where. It seemed to be Brittany, but a specific place in Brittany.
Well, welcome to somewhere or other. We don't know.
Oliver is fighting on the French side, trying to put a guy named Charles on the throne, or the dukedom, whatever a duke sits on. And he was defending a city, and the city was conquered. He lost, and he was taken hostage and then later ransomed, as was sort of the norm at the time.
Uh-huh.
And Charles, who was now the duke, didn't really feel that Oliver had done a good enough job defending the city.
Wait, I thought Oliver was shooting for Charles to be the duke.
He was.
So they lost and he still got to be duke?
He lost a city, not the entire battle.
Okay, so in the in-between time, Charles became the duke.
Correct.
Okay.
So Charles is now the duke and really didn't feel Oliver pulled his weight. His little city got conquered. He was kind of pissed off about it. So he invited Oliver and a bunch of other noblemen he was pissed off at to a tournament to celebrate the new truce with England. And once they arrived, he had them all beheaded.
So
the challenge is, can you leave with your head?
This seems to be a common theme. And any time in the medieval ages when somebody goes, hey, I'd like to invite a whole bunch of you to my house, just say, I got prior engagements.
Yeah.
He puts the head on display, which was sort of not done for the head of a nobleman at the time. He was being basically treating him like a peasant.
You should turn it into a puppet.
I'm out of her.
And our heroine, Jeanne, didn't appreciate this.
I'm a little put off by this.
So she took her two sons to view the head.
Wave to daddy.
And told them that Charles and King Philip, who was the king of France at the time, had murdered their father.
True, yeah.
She then sold everything she owned to raise an army and then reached out to everyone else who had just had one of their loved ones slain in this little tournament slaughter and had them give her men for her army.
Hey, y'all want to be pirates?
Yeah. It's like, I picture that as a piece of junk mail. Like, has your husband been beheaded by the Duke Charles?
He has. Did you show your two sons his head? Don't pose my son saw his head.
So with her army in tow, she showed up at the castle of one of Charles's supporters, a man who hadn't yet heard about the execution. Yeah. Guess he wasn't checking his Facebook account.
So we blame you. For what?
He welcomed this nice French noblewoman inside without any hesitation. And once inside, she and her men slaughtered everyone in the castle.
Oh, dear.
That poor bastard.
Leaving only a handful of people to tell the tale. Before Charles and his army could arrive, they'd left along with everything in value within the stronghold.
The whole castle is gone.
They killed all the witnesses, too, so it's going to be hard to track down who did it.
Well, that was actually one of her things. She always left a witness. Mm. She made a point of always leaving someone who could say, yeah, it was a really angry French woman who said you killed her husband.
It is important to have a gimmick.
This wasn't enough for her. I mean, Charles was still alive and France was still standing. And she pretty much now blamed all of France for the death of her husband.
So she changed her last name.
She headed to England because, as we established, England and France weren't getting along and said, hey, I really want to kill every noble person in France. Do you want to help me?
Alphabetically.
Boy, do we.
And that was pretty much their response. With her money and their support, she was able to put together three warships. She had the ships painted black and dyed their sails red and named the flagship My Revenge.
Man. Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, see, this is the kind of thing you don't hear about anymore. Or like, somebody killed my husband. I may as well just go all out on this.
Yeah. It's like, why haven't we seen this movie?
Yeah, right.
She didn't want anyone to miss her point. She didn't want to be subtle. So she's 43 years old, and she leads her three warships against any merchant vessel flying the French flag. They gained.
Wait, I got this at a gift shop. One from Norway.
Her fleet gained a particular reputation for savagery because, unlike most pirates, who we discussed earlier, were all about the ransoming, they pretty much killed everyone but one or two people that they left just to report that they had killed everyone.
I got attacked by a boat called Fuck France.
Unsurprisingly, she had a particular bone to pick with the nobility, who were used to being ransomed if they were captured. But she personally beheaded them with an axe before dumping them overboard.
Wow.
Ooh. And this gained her the nickname the Bloody Lioness.
Yeah. No one will ever look at your head.
She wasn't only a pirate. She also carried supplies across the channel for the English army. She just generally did everything she could to mess with France. In gratitude for her service, the English granted her lands in the area of Brittany that they controlled. And then she met a guy, got married, and died peacefully in 1359.
Wow. Did she get it all out of her system? Because, I mean, I have to say, there is still a France, so she didn't win by her definition.
Well, but this story, it's like two fairy tale books, and then together you smash in 300.
Yeah.
Well, she did work as a pirate for 13 years before she was like, I'm getting old. She started at 43.
Yeah.
I need to settle down.
No, I'm 56 now. I can't heft that axe like I used to.
Now, her son, Oliver, eventually returned to France and eventually became one of the richest men in the country, and his bloodline continued into the French monarchy. Oh. So they sort of re-entered the kingdom in style.
So she probably disowned him for that, but good for him.
Well, he did fight in a major battle against Charles first, and Charles, I don't think he personally killed Charles, but Charles was killed.
Yeah.
So, worked out.
Take that.
Ho-ho!
We're doing that thing you probably don't even remember 15 years ago.
Oh, I bet he didn't forget. She made a point of making sure everyone knew why she was doing what she was doing.
The three ships, My Revenge, Fuck France, and Kill Charles the First.
Moving on to our second pirate queen, and our first who pretty much literally a queen. This is Saida Al-Hurra, which was not her name. We don't know her name for sure, but it might have been Aisha. But Sayyida al-Hurra means noble lady who is free and independent, the woman sovereign who bows to no superior authority.
Well, that's quite a name.
Name continued on page two.
She was born in 1485 around Granada, which is part of present-day Spain. She was the daughter of a prosperous household, and she had a well-educated and happy childhood. And then in 1492, Ferdinand and Isabella conquered Granada. This was part of the Reconquista, during which historians estimate about 100,000 Muslims were enslaved or killed, while the rest were forced to flee. Because this was sort of the transfer from Muslim having control of some or all of Spain to the Europeans taking it back over.
So what was she a queen of? Granada?
We're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
No, she's not a queen yet. She was just the daughter of a prosperous household.
Okay.
So her family was forced to flee, but she didn't exactly appreciate it. And from then on, she basically had a bone to pick with all of Christendom.
Oh, wow. Not just Spain, huh?
It was a holy war. So, yeah. You know, they were kicking them out because they were Muslims, and she was mad at them because they were Christians picking on Muslims. Her family settled in present-day Morocco. And she married Abu al-Hassan al-Mandri, who was essentially the governor of the city-state of Tutan. She also might have married his son. It's unclear which of the two she married, but she definitely married one of them.
She married similarly named people.
So together, the pair rebuilt this city-state and started to make it prosperous. And when her Sayyida's husband died in 1515, she declared herself the sole ruler of Tutan. It was about this time she looked around and said, okay, I now run a city and we need money and I hate Christendom. And actually, most of my people are also refugees, so they're not very happy with Europe either. And at that point, she was like, I have an idea. Piracy.
We'll take up basketball. No, wait, a better idea.
We'll beat them on the court.
So this is what brings us to Barbarossa. Barbarossa was active in the Mediterranean. He basically ruled the Eastern Mediterranean. And she basically sent him a fan letter, said, really love what you're doing. Would like to get into it. What do you think? And he wrote back and said, sounds like a great idea. You take the East, I'll take the West, and together we'll really make the Europeans pay.
Letter delivered by parrot.
So Sayyida didn't personally go around on the ships. She was running a city at the time, but there was no question that she was in charge of all the pirates in the area. All captured money came back to the city and all hostage negotiations came through her. Oh. So there are a lot of records in Portugal and Spain that just said this goddamn woman and her pirates always taking our people. Someone needs to kill her.
Oh, man, do you think she had one of those, like, awesome maps in her office with, like, the Mediterranean Sea and she'd just scoot her little boats around?
That's what I want.
I know.
A map of the Mediterranean Sea. I can get
you with little
one.
Boats.
Oh, okay. Well, I can work on both.
So her people were pretty good at what they were doing. Among other things, they captured the governor of Portugal's wife at one point.
That's a good catch.
And got quite the ransom for her.
He was pirate of the month.
Not surprisingly, because she made her city very, very rich, her people adored her, which was really unusual for a woman ruling at this time independently. She rebuilt the city, helped refugees restart their lives and fortunes, and generally just made sure her people prospered. All her money came from piracy, but her city did very well.
And you can't tax piracy.
In 1541, she married the king of Morocco.
Wow.
Now, interestingly, he came to her to get married, yeah, which had never happened before and never happened again. So they got married in her city instead of in the Moroccan capital.
He's like, look.
And he took her last name.
I've got a pirate fleet to run. You can either come down here or this marriage doesn't happen.
And that was pretty much her reaction after they were married. She's like, I'm still running a city and the Eastern Mediterranean. So, like, I love you, honey, but I've got things to do. All right.
Go be king over there.
Unfortunately, the marriage sort of turned out to be a mistake. She was eventually deposed by her stepson. And we don't really know what happened to her after that. History kind of didn't follow her any further.
This happens all the time to these, like a Hatshepsut. Eventually her stepson's like, fuck off. And then you don't, like, He's like, now deface everything that was ever hers and let's move on.
Yeah, one of the problems with tracking women in piracy is they don't tend to write a lot of records of them.
Let's pretend that never happened, shall we?
And now we're going to get to a woman considered the most successful pirate in history.
Oh.
Note I didn't use the female qualifier there. She's just the most successful pirate, wow. Full stop.
Piratess. Piratina.
This is Qing Shi. And just to get this out of the way, if I've butchered all the names so far, I'm going to get even worse with these Chinese names. I promise I'm trying. So Qing Shi, which was not her birth name, that basically means widow of Qing. But we'll get into that. So she was born in 1775 and she worked as a prostitute.
Yeah,
as you do.
And as a prostitute, she met Zhang Yi, who was the leader of the Red Flag Fleet, which had about 200 ships at the time when they met. Now, the story is that he sought her out for her reputation as a shrewd businesswoman who used the secret she learned as a prostitute to wield power over her wealthy clients. He asked her to marry him, and she replied, sure, I want equal control of your fleet and half the plunder. And he said, sure.
Okay.
Just do my taxes.
So during their marriage, the fleet grew in power significantly to up about 600 to 1,000 ships. And he died in a typhoon in 1807.
And she declared war on weather.
Qing Shi was in kind of a dangerous situation at that point.
He was a pirate.
He had, you know, these 600 ships and all these people following him. And she was a woman who wasn't really respected for her power at that time. She just sort of clung on to his. But she was really good at what she was doing and she didn't want to give it up. Now, Zhang Yi had a sort of protege slash adopted son slash possible lover, depending on which resource you're reading, named Qiang Pao Sai. And she went to him and said, you're going to support me in running this army of ships.
Or else.
sort of stepson. And he said, sounds like a good idea. And so together, they consolidated their power and got Zhang's family to also support them. And since Zhang's family ran a lot of the fleet, she was able to take complete control of the Red Flag Fleet.
Nice.
So under Qing Shi, the fleet increased to 1,800 ships and around 80,000 pirates.
Wow.
At that point, you're just pirating other pirates.
That's what I was going to say. You think they started boarding ships and find out it's just another one of her pirate ships?
Well, in a way, you're right, because they had a very corporate takeover approach to piracy. Yeah. All the other pirates in the area became part of the Red Flag Fleet.
So congratulations, you work for us now, or else.
Now, they did attack ships, but they also operated as a sort of floating mafia. They collected tribute from coastal towns, which they then agreed to not destroy utterly.
This is a nice coastal town you got here. Shame if something happened to it.
We just came from a town. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Burned to the ground and everyone dead. Don't know what happened, but all we know is they didn't pay us.
So for what it was worth, she was as good as her word. She ran her fleet by a very strict code, and anyone who attacked a town that paid tribute was beheaded. Oh. So if your ship preyed on one of her towns, everyone on that ship was killed.
But I told them not to.
She sort of saw beheading as her quick solution to all problems. So the code had the following rules. If you disobeyed one of her orders, you were beheaded. If you gave orders she hadn't approved of, you were beheaded. If you hid booty from the common fund, you were beaten severely.
Lightly beheaded.
No.
But if you did it a second time, you were beheaded.
If you clogged a toilet.
Improper beheading.
Now, this is sort of interesting. So the common fund was something that her fleet did that you don't see in any other pirates. 80% of plunder captured went into the common fund. Uh-huh. And that was used to run ships, give pensions to retiree pirates, and also run their pirate bank. They had a pirate bank.
What? What was it called?
Wells Yargo.
Going on through more of the code, if you raped a captive woman, you were beheaded. If you had consensual sex with a captive woman, you were beheaded.
Wait,
and then
consensual?
She was drowned.
Oh. This is as much her fault as it is yours.
You're a captive woman. Have more respect for yourself. Blah, 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 blah.
Now, if you married a captive woman, she gained all the rights and responsibilities of being one of the Red Fleet pirates.
And then you were beheaded.
And if you were unfaithful to her, you were beheaded.
You didn't tip your waiter.
More strict than the Catholic Church.
She was surprisingly lenient to deserters. They only had their ears cut off and then were required to stay with the fleet.
Oh, man.
Towns that tried to rise against her were utterly destroyed. At one point, two towns tried to combine forces, and her pirates killed every adult male in both towns.
Well, then.
We tell you their names, but no one remembers.
So, as you can imagine, this was sort of a problem for China.
Yeah, I was going to say, was she just pirating, like, just everybody? Just going all crazy?
Anyone, any ships in the area. So, at the time, the British and the Portuguese were, and as well as the Dutch, were trying to trade with China.
Yeah.
And she was pirating on Chinese ships, on British ships, on Portuguese ships. She was pissing everyone off with her 80,000 strong army.
Yeah.
So the British, the Chinese, and the Portuguese decided to team up and attack the fleet. They failed miserably.
Oh, man.
The Red Fleet won, captured 69 ships.
It got 69 ships bigger.
And most of the captives joined the pirates.
Or else.
Well, yes,
we have a pension. We can't not join them.
Well, now I'm imagining that, like, they put one British person on every red flag ship who's like, oh my goodness, I don't know what's going on here, but
so the punishment for not joining the Red Fleet was to have your feet nailed to the deck and then be beaten to death.
Wow.
I guess I'll become a pirate.
They didn't even tell them the consequences. You want to be part of the fleet? No. And then they just beat the crap out of some guy and he turned everybody else.
How about you?
Have I mentioned our generous pension plan?
And dental.
Karaoke Mondays.
Just don't sing songs she doesn't like. So at this point, the Chinese government took a, if you can't beat her, invite her to join you approach. They offered to amnesty all of her pirates if they would just stop being pirates.
Please.
So she, you know, she's been running this organization for a while. She thought that was an interesting offer, and she went down to negotiate and agreed, provided they could keep all their loot, and she got made a noblewoman.
We get to keep all our loot. I'm a noblewoman, and you throw me a parade when I retire.
So they got to keep all their money. She got made a noblewoman, and her adopted stepson slash lover was made a commander in the Imperial Navy.
Well, at this point, he has experience.
Yeah.
Personally, I think they should have made her a commander in the Imperial Navy because she was clearly good at it.
I mean, what else would you do with that kind of resume?
Yeah. It's just interesting she went to talk to him, because at her point, it's like, what the hell do I care what you think about anything? I do what I want.
So there was this one sticking point in the negotiations where they were supposed to kneel in submission to accept that they were no longer pirates and they accepted the Chinese rule. And she wasn't really one for submitting herself to anything, but she was ready to retire. So she brought her boy toy along, Cheng Po Sai, and
he's kneeling for both of us.
He's just on both knees.
So they asked the governor they were negotiating with to marry them. And as was traditional, they knelt for the marriage.
Oh, clever.
After that, she started a gambling house, gave birth to Cheng Po Sai's child, and lived happily ever after as a Chinese noblewoman.
I like this story. This is better than Mulan, Disney.
Mulan 2, Pirate Queen.
I'd go see it.
So that is all our stories. Does anyone have any personal stories about pirate queens?
I've never met a queen or a pirate, let alone both.
I never ran into any pirates.
No?
No. All my deployments were pretty uneventful, unfortunately. Fortunately.
Well, I'd hate to see your feet nailed to a deck, so I think that's for the best.
I would have had a better retirement plan, though.
It's true. She takes care of her own. All right, then. If we don't have any personal stories, I'm going to move on to what are your morals worth? I'm not going to do anything with pirate queens specifically. We're just going to do pirates in general.
Hmm. What do we have to pay Andy to dress up like a pirate queen?
Nothing.
We're going to go back to Captain 2. As you might remember, his men made between $1.3 and $2.6 million on that ship they captured.
Yeah, they did.
Of course, they got lucky. Knowing what we know about the dangers of piracy and the punishment for piracy, which was hanging, how much would you have to be paid to work for a year on a pirate ship with all the accompanying dangers. Sean, if we have time travel, we can cure your diabetes. We can't protect you from scurvy or keel hauling, though.
You can't go into the time machine with like a sack full of grapefruit or something.
I have the cure.
What happens after? Do I come back to now?
Yes, you get to come back. You just serve on a pirate ship for a year.
So as long as I make it out of the year, it's not like when I'm 70 years old, someone's going to track me down and be like, you burned down my village once.
No, you're safe from retribution by time.
Okay. And put we'll in the cuffs by an ancient conquistador. You know,
1700s Caribbean piracy.
Oh, man. Okay.
I don't think you're going to have to pay me much. But then again, I don't. If you just zap me back there right now, I'd be like, oh, dear.
I mean, it would be a tough, like, to.
It would be a rough year.
Sort of thing. Yeah, but I think that'd be pretty cool.
What with all the prostitutes
and the diseases that didn't exist?
You're going to have to give me a couple years to get really good at playing the fiddle. That's about the only job I think I could pull off on a pirate ship.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go back like right at this very moment. I would need some time to prepare.
Grow out your beard for nothing else.
Yeah.
But also, I want to be on one of those boats where they really value loyalty, because I will grovel like no one else.
I'll kneel. I'll kneel for anyone.
All right. So assuming my pirate ship has to score it big in order for me to get paid, like I can't just be like, I'm sure pirates sometimes went a year without running into anybody. I can't just like be on a boat for a year and then make a million.
Well, I'm sure they made like little scores.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be paid the amount you determine at the end.
Ah.
Right, right. But I mean, that's got to come from somewhere is my point. So they're probably going to be doing something bad, if not, you know, killing people, at least.
Not if you're the fiddle player.
Yeah, well, I won't, but they will.
Sean will be providing the soundtrack to Doom.
Well, provided you're not with our lioness, at least you probably won't be slaughtering everyone on the ship.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Those ancient French probably deserved it.
I don't know. I feel like those guys scored lucky. Let's say 1.5 million. That's probably enough, I think. I hope, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, a life of adventure, though.
Yeah. I mean, but adventure means if you get caught, you're going to die.
Yeah, that's how most adventures end. I don't know. What 1 million sounds like a great score. And do I get to take it with me? Like,
yes,
do
you get
I
to bring
the
it back.
Pirates as I get into my H.G. Wells-esque time machine full of a chest full of doubloons?
Is it money that I'm getting while being a pirate, or when I get back from being a pirate, do they give me a check?
You'll make the money as a pirate, and when you return, the evil time traveler who's helping you out will serve as an exchange bank and give you modern currency.
I don't get to just use doubloons at Walmart or something.
They stopped making these in the 1400s.
Damn. Like, $1 million would be a really nice score, but I don't think I would need that much to want to do this. Like,
Adam already knows how to sail.
Not really.
Adam,
it's not
supposed to be
same.
An anti-pirate.
No, are you kidding me? I would have jumped ship in a heartbeat to get on a cool pirate ship.
A real pirate ship?
I mean, not like Somali pirates, but
yeah, like a speedboat full of Somali pirates pulls up to Adam's boat. He's like, see you, suckers.
Life adventure for me. I'm gonna say at the very least 200,000.
Wow.
That's a good amount of money and a lot of adventure.
I feel like I'm facing some dangers you gentlemen probably wouldn't have to deal with.
Yeah,
sure.
So
you're
I'm not
have
going
to assert yourself.
I'm not going to do it less than at least the upper limit of what Captain Two's men made, which is 2.6 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to make that much.
Yeah, but you're going to have to make that much is the thing. Maybe I should just say like $10 so that I just have a very boring trip on the pirates and I don't have to worry about killing anybody.
Well, they sounds like they made it on one ship that quietly surrendered.
That's true.
Yeah, they made that in a week.
Then you just spend the rest of the time spending it.
Yeah.
Seriously, what if you were teleported right there? You're like, yeah,
I contributed.
and then for the rest of the time, you're living like a king.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you today. Thank you for joining us and have a wonderful week.
Thanks to my co-hosts and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there, the pirate queen. Ready to kill all of the French.